website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We always look forward to your call-in, your questions, comments, and seeking information and answers in relationship to the issue of the day. We're talking about today prophetic signs. Prophetic signs. Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, all are filled with the prophetic signs that God tells us in His Word we need to be aware of and look forward to with anticipation. I'm looking at a headline. It says, three blood moons are coming soon, and you won't believe when the first one hits. We'll talk about this article during the course of the broadcast today. And we'll ask the question, should we be concerned about blood moons? What is a blood moon? What does a blood moon say? When will it be relevant? What scripture do we look at? How do we determine a false prophet from a biblical truth in relationship to prophecy? That's some of the things we'll talk about today, and looking forward to your questions and comments. Do you believe in prophecy? What part of prophecy do you have a question about? What is the position that you take in relationship to the three blood moons? You remember back in 2014, 2015, there was a great hoopla, if you please, about four blood moons. You remember that? John Hagee, Mark Belts, and Jonathan Kahn came out like a prophetic bandit, if you will. They were doing a lot of stuff and writing books and articles. Even wound up with countersuits and suits against each other as to who first came up with the term for the books that they were writing in relationship to the four blood moons. Each of those, by the way, claimed that they had communicated with NASA in relationship to the rotation of the Earth and when the blood moons, as it's called, would be coming about, and that they had gotten the information from NASA, and therefore they were what they were saying was verifiable, etc. Only to find out that that wasn't so, and to find out also that they were suing each other about who was first. They made profit off the false prophecies, is the bottom line. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot depend, we cannot depend on what others may say or write about. But we can depend upon the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book, without fault, without failure, without contradiction. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Bible that we need to count on. But there are many people today that reject truth. And it goes back to a statement by the secularist George Orwell. When Orwell published his book, the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell, in part, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, we find truth matters regardless of whether you agree with it or accept it or not. I find that it is fascinating and yet sad that so much of society today rejects absolute truth. I'm looking at a headline news article. It says, "Most younger Americans say that there is no absolute truth." Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if there's no absolute truth, what you think, what you say is just as valid as anybody else's. This is the reason it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint, among other things, said this: "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." We need to be careful as to the way we handle truth. Truth matters. Go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus, you know, was burned at the stake. As he was dying, being burned at the stake, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." But one of the things that is so relevant, I believe, today, Jan Hus said this: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day in my monologue on this broadcast. Jan Hus made many relevant statements about truth, one of which he said, "Do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing on what is true." That's my challenge to us today: to believe and seek, learn, love, live, and tell the truth and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag, the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University. I'm always delighted to have Dr. Phelps join me. We'll be talking about this subject today that I believe is relevant. I believe it's real. And I believe we need to be very, very careful, if I can emphasize that, on who we trust and who we follow and who we believe. A lot of folks today, and perhaps you're one of them, I don't know, you turn on the internet, and you'll go from reel to reel, from chat to chat, from short to short, as they're calling the short messages. Or you go to full, if you please, full messages about teachings, about prophecy. We need to be very careful. The key to looking at biblical truth, biblical prophecy, is what I call the hermeneutic principle, and that is context. I'll say that, I'll talk about that a little later also in the broadcast. What does it mean, context? Let me just give you a little rough example. Most of us believe, love, look at, read, talk about John 3:16. "For God so loved the world," etc., etc. That's verse 16. What happens before verse 16? Verses 1 through 15. And what happens after verse 16? Verse 17 through verse 36. You look at the totality of it. I've always used the term especially in teaching hermeneutics in the Bible College. There are five principles in hermeneutics and biblical interpretation. It's context, 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 context. If it's a text that's used out of context, it's a pretext and should never be used for a text. Now, if that didn't confuse you, nothing else could. But it's a matter of looking at the context. Who's speaking? Who's it speaking about? What are the circumstances? What is culture? What is theology and doctrine? What is being taught? All of those questions need to be asked as you analyze the scripture and make a determination of what's being said. Let me quickly just simply say this. Most of what is done today under the guise of prophecy is an improper hermeneutic, an improper analysis of the context of what is being said. Ladies and gentlemen, biblical prophetic signs can be found everywhere in the scripture. But may I say to you, multitudes of the signs of the last days are outlined in the Bible. Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. All of those provide us with great details of what we should expect in the last days. For example, ladies and gentlemen, one of the first signs outlined in Matthew 24 is that of false teachers, false prophets. And we're witnessing a proliferation of that today. I believe we need to be very, very careful in recognizing false teachings and false prophecies. The scripture talks about wars and rumors of wars. Ladies and gentlemen, today we see this in vivid detail when we look at what is happening in Israel, the Middle East in toto, look at what is happening in Syria, Israel and Russia and Ukraine. Then you find another one of the signs of the last days is nation against nation. That word is ethnos. It's talking about ethnicity. It's one ethnic group battling against another. And we're finding that today primarily when we look at what's happening with Islam. The Islamic move to dominate the entire globe, the Islamic move to destroy any non-Muslim, that is to kill every Jew and every Christian and everyone that does not comply and submit to Islam. That's what the scripture is talking about when it says nation against nation. Then the scripture talks about another sign, famines, earthquakes, floods, and fires. We're seeing that globally today. That's pointing to the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian persecution, another one of the signs. And the church and the believers today are being prosecuted and persecuted as never before. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 talks about in the last days, perilous times. That's dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult times will come. So that's just a little thumbnail sketch of what the scripture says in relationship to signs. It's the word semions. It talks about benchmarks, identifiers as to what we can look forward to for the future. So Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about that today. And in just a moment, we'll open the telephone lines and invite you to call. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, let me just ask a very, very broad question. Should Christians study prophecy, and what's the point of studying prophecy?
Prophecy is one of the contents of the scriptures where God reveals to us what he has in mind for our future.
Amen. Very succinctly put. That's good. I like that. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning. I hope you're well.
Okay, is that Dr. Phelps?
Dr. Phelps, absolutely.
Well, Dr. Phelps. And good morning, Dr. Phelps.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. I can see Islam. I think they're taking over England, Sweden, and a couple other countries, and I think Canada is on the rise to it also. Mm-hmm. But in America, we better wake up and listen up to what God said, because prophecy is being fulfilled right now.
Absolutely, brother. In fact, you touched on that. France is controlled by the Netherlands, controlled by the Islamics. France is controlled by the Islamics. You find today Germany is just about, how would you say, in the jaws of the Islamic jihadist controlling. We need to recognize the UK is now being greatly dominated by Islam, and it's a move by Islam to destroy, to kill, in holy war, as it is called, jihad, to wipe out and destroy every non-Muslim. They call it non-believer in the Noble Quran. If you're a non-believer, that's a non-Muslim, then the goal is to destroy you. But Kenneth, one of the things that we're talking about today that fits into that category in relationship to prophecy, there are a lot of people today, many pastors, many that are supposedly renowned prophetic preachers and teachers and research and writers and authors of books that talks about the signs, and one of those signs is the blood moons, as they call it. That's what we're going to be digging into pretty deeply today. Now, I'll say this, Kenneth, and perhaps you're aware of it. A lot of these false teachers and false prophets that will have us to believe that they can set dates, set times, tell us when Jesus is coming back, tell us when the end of the world is coming. That took place with John Hagee and Mark Belts and others, Jonathan Kahn, in 2014, 2015, 2016, and 17. They made mega millions off the books that they'd written, and they set dates and times. One we'll talk about during the course of the broadcast that supposedly in 2008, Jesus Christ was coming back. The world was going to end. And we're watching the replay of that today in the mega article that I have before me. Three blood moons are coming, and you won't believe when the first one hits. This article reads in part, some remarkable celestial signs will be on display in the coming months that may hold the prophetic significance to the whole world. This series of four heavenly phenomena includes three lunar events, two of which could represent the possible direct message about Israel. It all kicks off with a total lunar eclipse known as the Blood Moon that will appear over the U.S. March the 14th, 2025. That's in the next few days. No, that's the next few months, about 90 days away from us. Kenneth, the question is, before we let you go, do you believe that we need to place our trust and confidence in some of these writers about the blood moons and prophesying the end of the world?
Yes, sir. I tell you this. I've read, we're talking about four blood moons, but Jesus said, no one knows the time or the date except the Father. And that is ludicrous. And I stopped listening to people talking about the blood moons. I said, because the Lord, God is the only one that knows when he's coming back. He's the
Absolutely.
Only one.
Absolutely. And we need to place our faith and trust and confidence in what the scripture says. And as I'll talk about further in the broadcast today, not only what the scripture says, but with the right interpretation of what the scripture says. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21, it warns a private interpretation. That is just one individual coming up with what he believes, and then he's found something nobody else has seen, nobody else has heard, and we need to adhere to that rather than what the Word of God says. But you're on target, spot on. When nobody knows the time of the date, perhaps you're aware of the fact that Jehovah's Witnesses set five dates that Jesus Christ was coming back. Last time was in 1975, and when they were chided and confronted about that, they said, oh yeah, he came back. He came back as a phantom that no one has seen him, but he did come back in 1975. That's a lie, and everybody knows it's a lie, but there are a whole lot of cults and Christian cults and false teachers today that will have us to believe that they know something that God has said that we do not know. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. We need to keep looking up, and we need to keep studying the Word. Study the Word. Read the Word. Meditate on the Word. See what God's Word says to us. That's the key element that I believe is missing in society today. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question to come here, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Dr. Phelps, how are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing fairly.
Yes, yes, sir. This year, there's only two total lunar eclipses there. One's on March, like you said, 13th to the 14th. That'll be viewed in North America. The second one is September, I think, 6th. And that one won't be able to be viewed from North America. Now, there's several types. There's a penumbral and a numbral. One of them creates what they call the blood moon because the moon itself completely is engulfed by the shadow of the Earth. And then that creates the redness from the light going through the atmosphere of the Earth and it having to travel farther through it. So it lengthens out the light wave. These events are on God's calendar, and he has his prophecies that is written in the Bible in his word. But those that are here, I can remember years ago, Harold Camping, I think, back in the 90s, was using the same thing. And it gets a lot of attention, and it brings a lot of people to the word, but I believe that it's disingenuous to use these methodologies because once that prediction does not come true, people lose faith in it. And really, those of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and read the Bible are not going to be surprised. We'll know that the season is coming. We won't know the time, but we'll know it's here. So I believe that people should be schooled in prophecy and what to look for by and reading the Word of God, but to use events that God already has in his timetable, when he set up this entire universe there, is disingenuous.
Absolutely. Jim, I'm going to ask Dr. Phelps to read Matthew 24. Verses 27 through verse 30. And then I'm going to ask him to comment on it. I'd love to have your dialogue and interplay with it. Dr. Phelps, read for us Matthew 24, verse 27, 28, 29, and 30.
Matthew 24, starting at verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
So, Dr. Phelps, take just a capsulization of that. What is it saying? And then I want Jim to respond to a question on that.
I believe that this passage of Scripture is telling us when the Lord is going to come again to rule and reign and enter into the millennial kingdom. I believe it tells us that immediately after the tribulation.
So let's pause there a moment. We're not in the tribulation now. The rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. Then there's 7 years of tribulation, concluding the tribulation, according to the contextual understanding of this Matthew 24 text, concluding the tribulation. Jesus Christ will come, and as the lightning shineth from the east to the west, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That is, he will be seen visibly by everybody globally. And these things we're talking about, the sun or the moon or the stars, etc., are signs for Jesus' second coming after the tribulation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We believe that we're not there yet.
We're not there. We're ways from that.
Yeah, seven years at least.
Well, the rapture hadn't come yet. I'm still here.
But the rapture is near. It could happen
at any moment.
Time.
Absolutely.
Perhaps,
Jim,
today.
The point that I wanted to make with that, yes, we need to study the Scripture, need to understand prophetic signs, and we need to understand contextually And chronologically, when those signs are taking place, what it connotes, what it is pointing to. And all of the signs in the scripture that deal with the sun darkening, the blood, moon turning to blood, etc., each and every one without exception deals with that time frame as pointing to the coming of the Son of Man, and that is at the conclusion. The Joel text, the Matthew 24 text, the Revelation 6 text, all point to that, but it's at the conclusion of the tribulation. So my question, Jim, do you believe that we're in the tribulation now, or is that something that's future? Is the rapture, in your opinion, is the rapture the next thing on the calendar of God?
We are definitely not in the tribulation. I would like to add one thing.
All right.
Whenever he says the sun will darken and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky, when God created whenever he created his universe for us to live in with him, he had everything perfect. In other words, the moon's going to go around the earth, the earth's going to go around the star's going to go around the galaxy, and so on and so forth. That event, when the sun does not give its light, the moon does not give its light, and that is an astronomical event that has never occurred before. There will be no doubt in every single individual's mind what has occurred, because it will be unlike anything.
Absolutely. And Jim, one of the things, and I'll touch on this before we let you go, I find it amazing, I find it sad, that these, quote, prophetic tellers that want to bend and twist Scripture and take Scripture out of context for the renown, if these things are to be true, i.e., that we see this happening, that's what it means today, that Jesus is coming back right now, why aren't we seeing stars fall from heaven? Why aren't we seeing the a lunar eclipse where it goes on for days? When you study the book of the Revelation, there are times during the tribulation when there's total darkness on a global basis. We're not seeing, in other words, the point that I make, Jim, is, and you're right on target, the point is that we need to look at Scripture in context and understand that God has chronology, God has context, and we need to look at it. I've used this term, Jim. If I were to write if I'm away from home, I'm gone for months and months and months, and I send my wife a 10-page letter, she certainly doesn't take it and read the first paragraph and put it down and know all that I'm saying. Many people today will take the Word of God, take a verse here, verse here, verse here, knit it together, and build a voodoo theology that God never intended. That is the thing that's dangerous. That's the purpose and the point of the issues that we're covering today, is for our listeners to understand, yes, prophetic text is good. Studying prophecy is wonderful, and it should be, but it ought to be in a contextual fashion that we're telling the truth when we talk about prophecy. Jim, thank you, brother, for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you. Keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, I find it fascinating and yet sad that so many want to be prophets today. They want to have prophetic truth today to look like they've found something no one else has and no one else understands. It is because in 2 Timothy, for example, chapter 3, verse 1 says, perilous times shall come. I say that perilous times are here today. Word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult times, and we're faced with that today. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you will recall that back in 2015 through about 2017, we were told by a few of the false prophets and false teachers, I touched on this earlier, that the four blood moons were indicators that the world would soon end. In fact, one of those false teachers even said that Jesus was coming back September of 2008. But we're still here. What happened? Why is it that he was not correct? Because he was reporting on Scripture, making statements about Scripture with text being taken out of context to try to prove what he was saying. For example, Dr. Phelps, as I look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 and following. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal to the great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became as blood. That's when the seals are opened, and the earlier portion of the days of the tribulation. So that's not happening now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our thoughts today about prophetic signs. What are the prophetic signs? What does the Bible say? Can we believe? Can we trust? Can we put our confidence in multitudes today that's writing and preaching and teaching about the blood moons and what it connotes? Thank you for tuning in today. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to have the top of the hour news right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park.